Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we consider the arrest of our Lord Jesus in the garden. The betrayal. That's what we call it. And that word sums up the event so well. You know, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say, on the night when he was betrayed. And everyone knows what that means. But when you read this account a little more closely, you can see, perhaps, that Jesus is not the only one being betrayed. In the garden this evening, many people are betrayed in different ways. Consider the disciples. Disciples follow their master. Following is fundamental to discipleship. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And in a moment, with the setting down of a net and a walk from the shore, fishermen became disciples. Yet on this night, in the garden, those disciples no longer follow, but lead. Luke writes, when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. The followers take action, asking a question but not waiting at all for an answer, praying to God but doing whatever they want. A servant is struck, an ear lost, and followers are transgressors of God's gracious will. Disciples, their actions betray them. They betray the truth. They are not disciples in this moment, but something less than that name. Consider Judas. Lest we forget, for knowing the story so well, Luke reminds us that he is one of the 12. But his lips are filled with poisonous words and his kiss is deadly. He approaches Jesus as a disciple to greet and to kiss his master. But the crowd behind him betrays his intent, betrays the man. And so we have another betrayal in this text. One of the 12? Judas is something less than that name. Or consider the chief priests and the elders. Luke informs us that the officers of the temple guard accompany them. They've complained about the oppression of their nation, yet now they use force to oppress one of their own. Sitting in the temple, they had listened to his teaching, and they fought against the message of Scripture, and here in the night they fight with swords and clubs and soldiers. These prisoners to foreign rule now rule in ways that are foreign to God. And so we have a third betrayal. Leaders of God's people? Their weapons betray them. They are something less than that name. Luke helps us to see that the story of our Lord's betrayal has much to say about us. Sometimes you can't trust what you see. Jesus is absolutely right when he says, this is your hour, when darkness reigns. But the hour of darkness is not a full frontal attack in the middle of daylight, where armies are armies and weapons destroy. No, the hour of darkness is a time when evil remains hidden. It hides under a kiss. It's cloaked under discipleship. It's there under the leaders of Israel. People may kiss and pray and preach about peace, but underneath it all lies a heart that's ready for war. And perhaps you've been in this darkness. Such darkness usually catches a person by surprise, especially when they're a disciple. Consider just one example. As a responsible person, you take care of yourself. You watch out for your own needs. You're saving, for example, for your various needs, including retirement. And then this economy happens. With the turn in the market, with the uncertainty going on, every penny becomes precious, and an easy solution is to start to neglect the needs and the poverty of others. You cut into what's called charitable giving. It's our money, after all. We worked for it. And suddenly, our own future has become more important than another person's terrible present. And God's call for justice turns simply into words on a page. Oh, it's easy to speak about justice and God's love for the poor, but do our actions betray us? Do we choose silver over righteousness? How many similar stories could show the same thing? Darkness catches us by surprise because it doesn't look dark at first. It's deceptive. One day we're filled with righteous zeal for God's kingdom, pointing out to the world how it has gone astray from God's ways. And later in reflection, we may discover that what's been hidden all the time underneath zeal and proclamation of holy living might actually be a burning anger and a hatred of a neighbor without a shred of desire for their salvation at all. Darkness catches us and we betray ourselves. Luke's account alerts us to this hour of darkness, and we confess tonight how easily it creeps up on us as well, if not in the ways I've spoken, then in the ways that trouble your heart again and again. Yet this is not the only story that St. Luke has to tell. In this account, Jesus does more than reveal the hour of darkness. He also reveals the eternal love of our Lord. For our Lord enters the hour of darkness and turns it into a place of His eternal love. In the midst of all that deception, Luke points to the one thing that remains true. What Jesus is seeking to do for them. What Jesus is doing for us. Jesus never betrays his Father's eternal mission. When his disciples fight, he brings peace. When a slave is injured, he heals. When his enemies come, he willingly submits to the suffering and death that brings our salvation. In each case, Jesus meets the hour of darkness not by withdrawing, but by bringing into this world the eternal kingdom of God. Take, for example, the healing of the high priest's servant. Luke tells us that one of the disciples drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servants. And you know he wasn't aiming for the ear. The confrontation in the garden is beginning to turn deadly. In the face of this escalating violence, Jesus intervenes to stop the hurting of a slave. And though he will not act in his own defense, Jesus works to defend others. Weak enough to be arrested, He's strong enough to heal. And in this moment, he reveals that whatever else is done to him, he will always remain our Maker, coming into this world to heal his fallen creation. He is who he is, the Son of God, our Savior. And though the powers of darkness rise against him, he remains strong and obedient to eternal love, for he has come to set us free. And now we begin to see that there really is more here than meets the eye, for Jesus is revealing to us the power of God's eternal love. For ages, people trusted that such a love existed. They waited for God to send the Messiah, one who would set his people free. For 3 years in Galilee, the people had seen a Savior. They had brought their sick to a healer. They had looked for the reign of the Prince of Peace. And now, even in the midst of the power of darkness, even in the midst of the power of darkness, we find this Lord being what his name proclaims him to be. In the face of such oppression, he is and remains the anointed one of God. When thrown into a situation where he should protect himself, he uses his hands to heal another. When given good reason to fight his enemies, he lays down his life for their salvation. When faced with disciples who were fighting for his freedom, he asserts his authority as their leader, as the Prince of Peace. And the names of Jesus remain true in all situations. He is a Savior, a healer, a Prince of Peace, there in the garden, and here tonight in our midst. Have you experienced the power of darkness? Have you found how easily it can slip in among us as well? Don't be afraid, for today our Lord comes, our Savior, and he offers forgiveness tonight through his gospel. In the midst of our illness, he comes as our healer. In the midst of our struggles, he brings us peace. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we begin by saying, on the night when he was betrayed. And with that statement, we remember the hour of darkness in the garden, but we also remember every hour of darkness that comes after that. Times when we have been less than our name of Christian. Yet no matter how often this hour comes among us, God's love remains eternal. He comes to forgive us with his body and blood. Each time we begin with the words, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus continues by saying, take, eat, drink. This is for you. Whether that hour of darkness occurs in the garden, or in your home, or anywhere else, God's love and grace remain. In eternal love, he continues to come and forgive us our sin. He continues to be true to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise for the canticle.